Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. God bless you all. It is another blessed Saturday in Jesus' name. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me the opportunity once again to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you listen to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com, that's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, @gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. So, amen. This on this blessed Saturday, you know what this means, heart to heart with Brother Lee and the handmaidens. As we wait for my brother to join us, I have missed a Thursday broadcast, and normally I do a broadcast at 5:30 today, but I had some things to come up. But thank God he is getting me back on track. Glory be to God, because I am going to give the gospel of Jesus Christ to you, the listener, because guess what, people? That's my commission from the Lord. Amen. My commission didn't come from man. It comes from God. So I've been commissioned from God to give you the word of God, and that's what I'm going to do. Now, Satan brings up his little stumbling blocks, his little hindrance. But thank God for faith while praying and for those who've been praying for me. Glory be to God. Because Satan has definitely reared his head. He tried to throw me off the course. But God has blessed me to still be here. And by the grace of God, I will continue to deliver the message of the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Ghost that he had put within me. So I got to give him all the glory and honor and praise, people, because he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be glorified. Amen. If you believe that, wherever you're at, in your kitchen, your living room, your bedroom, give a hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. You know, raise your hand and praise him and glorify and magnify him because he's worthy to be praised. Tell the devil that he will not stop your praise of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what he's bringing against you. Always remember that my God, our God, is stronger than whatever the enemy can bring. Amen. And always remember the reward that Christ will give you for continuing to stand in the faith will always outdo what the enemy can bring. Amen. Always will outdo. Glory to God. We got to keep that in mind, people. We got to keep that in mind. Today is the day by being about our Father's business. Decision-making time for many of God's people today. Is it going to be Jesus or is it going to be the world? Which one are you going to choose? And some of you may say, hey, what do you mean I got to make that choice? Well, you know why I'm saying this, okay? You know, you claim in Jesus, but when it's time for a pursuit of Christ, you're more pursuit of riches and things of this world, notoriety, than you are for Jesus. Okay, you know this. I mean, we don't have to call names out. I don't have to have you to call in or whatever. But you know, amen, it's decision-making time. And I'm here to tell you that Satan is ramping up the pressure, people. He's coming with the stronger trials. And listen, if we're not rooted in Jesus, we won't survive it. If you're not founded on the foundation of Jesus Christ, you're not going to survive the winds that he's going to bring. You're not going to survive the rains that he brings. Amen? I'm just going to be honest with you. Amen? God is letting me see this even more and helping me understand why he said certain things he said. Why do you say study to show thyself approved? Why do you say search the scriptures? Okay, why do you say that? I will meditate on the Lord day and night. Why is all that said? It's for a reason, people. Preparation. Amen. Listen, you're going through a boot camp. The Lord tells us in the word, endure hardness as a soldier in Christ, right? Well, soldiers got to go through a boot camp where they release out in the field, right? Amen. So they go to crawling under stuff and jumping over stuff. Then they give them boot packs or something to run. You got to jog or run for like 4 or 5 miles. That's all in your boot camp, okay? Well, we're in a spiritual boot camp, people. And Christ is telling us, hey, you got to go through this boot camp before you be released in the field. because what's in the field, it ain't nothing nice, okay? I'm telling you, when them soldiers go through that hay, it ain't nothing nice out there in that field. Now, let me pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Greetings and good tidings. Shalom. And grateful and thankful. We acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. We acknowledge the Holy Spirit, the blood of the New Testament. And greetings to all the believers and saints in every parts of the world. May the Lord Holy Spirit breathe a moment of inspiration and lightness that we can bless everyone that listen here. We are the Church of Christ of the Elijah Message, representative of the call of the kingdom of God in these last days, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, both Jew, Gentile, bond, and free. Yes, you can all come. You can come. Jesus calleth everyone to come. Good to be again, brother, on the podcast radio, talking to people around the world and all nations. I count it a privilege, a joy that God has counted us worthy to be a partakers of his grace to share it to the whole world, to speak daring, courageous, and bold without fear, because these are the last days. Now, we are blessed.
Amen. Yes,
we are blessed.
Brother.
We are tremendously blessed of the Lord Jesus. The blessings of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob through our Lord Jesus Christ has come down to us on these last days, the last generation, the midnight hour. We happen to be born not by coincidence or accident, but by the Lord's choosing. And so we are here on this broadcast looking back in eternity, like before he made the world. Before he created the angels, he had this in mind, hallelujah, because he knows what? The end, the beginning to the end. I said he knows from before in it, and he knows before beginning, and he knows after and ending. So he's the Alpha and Omega. So here we are, millions and eons ago, before the creation of the world, we know it, and the planets and all the galaxies, before the spiritual creation in heaven, he had in his mind that we will be in this day living, broadcasting on this. Isn't that tremendous that he had this all in mind?
Amen. Amen. Yes, he did, brother.
Because there's no accidents with God.
Amen.
There's no luck or coincidence. Planning, purposes, planning in his purpose. Paul talks about it in Ephesians, about the mystery of things that he is to be revealed in these last times. So we are grateful to be on the Talk Rock Radio to everybody from Mexico, Australia, Turkey, Russia, China, North Korea, wherever you are, Mexico, Brazil, we greet you in the name of Yeshua Mashiach, the Holy One of Israel. And we're glad to be sharing the good news, the glad tidings about the most wonderful event that's about to happen among the face of the earth. We talk about the first event, called the atonement, the death of our Lord and resurrection, the two greatest events. So this is Women's Night, Handmaid's Night, Evangelist Night of our sisters and brothers, sisters most likely tonight. So if we have our sisters to come on, we invite them to come. Yeah. This is their, basically, the Handmaid's Night, speaking to the women of the world in particular, to the mothers and the ambassadors for Christ and the helpers and the wives. And I don't know, they got nannies now to take care of children, don't they? Or do they? That's what they call them?
Yeah, that's what they call them, brother.
Well, I'm just trying to keep up with all this new kind of stuff, you know. I'm from the old school way back in Michigan.
Brother, don't worry about doing it, brother. Don't even try it. Don't even try it.
Amen. Well, brother, you know, in my day, when I was a little kid down in the sticks in Mississippi, the women would feed the babies with their breath, and they'd be on the bus, and they'd he just put out the breast. You know, we didn't have all the time had the carnation milk and bottle. They just pull out the breast and feed the baby, you know. So So the baby was getting a very good best. He was getting that imitation of life, that bottle stuff, you know. So maybe they was having so much trouble because babies are bottle fed. They have more problems than the breastfed babies. They did a study about that. And God ordained the most perfect way. Babies suck from the breast. Get the original. Okay. Yeah. Amen.
That wasn't making the manufacturers no money, brother.
Oh, my. I forgot about that. This is a capitalist society. This is totally a capitalist. Okay. It's what makes America great. What somebody say? We're going to make America great again. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's money in and money out. By the way, come thinking of it, the new money system is coming in. How we do business is already here. We talked about it for the last 30 years that it was coming, so it's here now. Okay, where's Sister Evangelist Anderson and Sister Helen Teagle?
Oh, well, we'll give them a few minutes, brother. We'll give them a minute.
Well, okay. You know, minutes cost money, you know. So we better get going, yeah. Okay, we ended yesterday talking about the end time working and plan of the Most High God. And I think we was about to enter into the importance of this prophecy and this truth in Revelation 7. And I was about to make a few statements about the importance of this prophecy in this scripture in Revelation 7. And I was about to talk, but as I began to talk, I'm talking about the end time, about our day we'll be living in. Seventh chapter of Revelations, what we call it, the writings and revelation of John the Apostle, whom Jesus gave unto him while he was yet on the Isle of Patmos. I don't know if it's out of Asia Minor or Turkey, somewhere he was on this small island. They had put him out there, and most people don't know. They put John out there on that island, and people said, why did they put him near the Aegean Sea or over in the outside of, I don't know, Turkey's or Asia Minor, somewhere over there in the island? And the wild animals and, you know, that was all out there, wilderness and wild animals. So the reason they put beloved apostle, who was the last apostle of the original 12, he was still here. Most of them had been killed, martyred, Peter and all the rest of them. Most of them was all dead. And this last original apostle of our Lord was put on this island. Now, the reason most people may not be aware of it, they tried to kill John, but he just wouldn't die. And so they said, well, what are we going to do with this guy? So they put him on this island. Since they couldn't kill him, couldn't boil him in oil, he just act like he didn't want to die. So they said, we're going to put him on this island. Maybe the wild beasts will kill him out there in the wild wilderness. So they put him on this isle. Do you know there's confusion about whether he really died or not? But anyway, won't get into it. Did he really die? Okay. And as we're talking about Revelation 7, John the Beloved received this, most of the revelation, he got it from angels. From chapter 4 on, in the Revelation, all you see is angels. From chapter 4, and Jesus appears at the first part of Revelation chapter 4, verse 4 verses mostly. And then from chapter 4 of the Revelation, all the way to 22, basically you see angels. Is that right? Angels ministry, angels. For the last 18 chapters in Revelation, you see all you see is the work of angels. Hallelujah. The first part, Jesus introduced himself as the Lord, the first and the dead, risen, but alive forevermore to John. He that was dead is risen. And then after the four chapters, he turns it over to angels, revealing the end time. These things shall happen thereafter. Notice what Jesus said in the first chapter. These are the things that shall happen thereafter. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, we're down living in the thereafter. We're in the thereafter, the last generation. Now, in the seventh chapter of Revelation, John sees something in Revelation chapter 7. By the way, they didn't have chapters and verses in Scripture. They didn't have no such thing as chapters or verses. That didn't happen only till in the 14th or 15th century. That's when they put verses and chapters in the Scriptures. But before the 14th or 15th century, there was no verses and no chapters. There was scrolls and written. Okay, we get it. So now we have what we call chapters and verses. So in our abridged version Bible, printed Bible, by the way, this is the blessed generation. You know why? Because most everywhere in the earth, the majority of people can get a Bible. Majority of people. But I would say a lot of the free world, free nations, they can have a Bible. Okay. And now we're talking about the seventh chapter of Revelation. You read the first two verses. Now, we ended yesterday about an event of day that we're living in right now, seventh chapter of Revelation. Okay.
Revelation chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
You said the first two verses.
The first four verses, yeah.
And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel.
Now, we stop there as an introduction to what we were talking about, this event, the sealing of the servants of God. Now, many prophecy experts, as they're called, have a divided opinion about this somewhat and what this is about. A lot of them, you know, believe thus that it's what this is about is that a lot of them believe that the Church of Jesus Christ is going to be raptured out, and these 144,000 are the Jews who are still on the earth, and they're going to be sealed, and they're the ones going to be preaching the gospel because the church won't be here. That's not quite accurate, but that's what a lot of theologians and prophecy experts believe, that these are the sealing of the natural Jews in the earth, because the church is going to be raptured out before the Great Tribulation. And so the people that are going to be left in the earth are going to need to hear the gospel. And the 144,000 Jews are for to be preaching to Jews because the redeemed churches would be in heaven. That's how they think that. They have their thoughts. Well, I have a different thought on that. So you notice that the angels are standing on the four winds, four corners of the earth, right?
Amen.
And so that give you about the job of angels, because angels, that's right now what we are talking, angels, God are all around, all up and down. And then there's demons and devils and evil spirits and hybrids are all around in different places. But we have multitudes of angels. So when we began to talk about this end time event, about the angels standing on the four corners of the earth and said, hold back the wind, don't let the sea, don't let the trees, don't damage anything until I seal the servants in their forehead and their head with, I can't, don't destroy it until I get this done. Now, I have to go back before I can really get into this. I was reminded a few minutes, I had to go back and come all the way down. I don't like just starting at the end of something. I have to go back and bring back the beginning, the first part of it. And I have to briefly go back and start at the beginning to bring this, the importance of the ministry of angels, because you don't hear too much about the ministry and the works of angels in these last days. you're beginning to hear more about demons and hypers and evil spirits a little bit more, but you don't hear too much preach about the great ministry of angels. I'm going to show you the importance of the last day move of the revelation truth about the work of angels in the earth in these last days. When in the book of Genesis, the beginning of the creation of the world that we live in, the planets, there was a council in heaven and between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and it says, let us make man in our image and our own likeness. But the angels were there too. Certain angels were there and privy to it, to the event. And one of the angels who had privy to some information and some under of the plan of God was Lucifer. And he had privilege to certain plans, a knowledge about God. He doesn't have complete understanding of revelation. He has some. He's limited. And all the other high angels were there too, to the council of the Most High God. Now, the role of angels, which are called messengers, they are called watchers, protectors, they're called ministers of God. Now, let's go back briefly about the important works, and we understand the ministration of angels in the earth in these last days especially. Do you remember Moses, when he led the children of Israel? Most people don't know the angels that were ministering to Noah because the Bible is not complete. The abridged version is not complete with all the history of things. It has a lot of things, but that's why they call it. The Bible is called the abridged version. I have to keep remembering that because people don't know what that means, abridged version, because we don't have all the complete history of God's working. Do you get that?
Yes. Amen.
And so therefore, because we don't have the complete total history of the Lord working with Israel and to mankind, we have a limited history given to us, which is sufficient, I guess. It is sufficient. It has to be sufficient. We don't have all the books and all the prophets. We have a lot of them, but we don't have all of them. We don't even have some of the books that tell us about the work of Enoch. There's about four different, about 8 or 9, 10 books that we don't even have in our abridgment that it speaks of in our Bible. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, we are limited about the history of some things. Now, you notice that when the Lord delivered Israel, he had an angel to lead them into the promised land, right?
Okay. Amen.
By the cloud and fire, the angel. Because the Lord God said he was not going to do it because he couldn't abide in the midst of them because they were so hard-headed and rebellious. He said, I cannot dwell in the midst of them because they were so rebellious, my wrath will come on. So I'm going to give my angel to take you in there because you better do what he said because he might get mad too, you know. And no telling what he might do if he get mad. But the Lord God Jehovah said, I can't be in the midst of this rebellious people. So I just give my angels to guide y'all in. Now, this is a pattern. One thing about the creator and the maker of the living God, the Bible says he's unchangeable. Now, the unchangeable thing about when Malachi said God is unchangeable in Malachi 3, and he's talking about his nature, his character, his nature, his character, and his working, and his ability. His nature, his character, his working, and his ability, and his wisdom is unchangeable. Now, he started out with an angel working, and the angels were with him in creation, were there, and we're going to kind of bring this up to speed because we're talking about the seventh chapter of Revelation where the angels are standing in the four corners of the world, of the end of the world. The book of Revelation, 18 chapters, all dealing with angels ministering. Angels' mission, very important mission. So now we're going to talk and bring this up a little bit to do it properly. Now we're going to talk about a little bit the ministering of angels, their jobs as watchers, protectors, and guidance, and directing the army and the works of the Lord. right now, do you know right now, brother, if the Lord didn't have multitudes in the angels, the demons would just destroy almost anything, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Right
mm-hmm.
now, when you're living in your home and going through your bed, if the angels of the Lord was not there as your protection and keeping things and holding back the evil, we couldn't hardly exist. You understand that?
Well,
you'll understand it if the angels were, uh-huh. if God was to withdraw angels from the earth. It's like, you know, you hear on the news they want to defunct the police department because, you know, they want to, you know, you hear these black line movement, other group, that's defunct, put away with the police department. If you do mm-hmm. away with the police department, I think I'll go and live on another planet.
Yeah.
Y'all can deal with.
That's true.
Okay.
That's
so
right.
It's just like if I were to pull a police department from these cities and nations, it'll be gun smoke and okay corral every day. Everybody would have gun slinging, shooting, killing, mm-hmm. hyper guns and everything. It'll be chaos, mm-hmm. murder, destruction. Like, so who gonna protect us? And so who gonna be the first line of protect the policemen? Even though there's some injustice, there's some discrimination, there's some evil things among certain police forces. We know that, and we're not gonna deny that. We're not going to get on radio and be lying, say the police department, there is no injustice, there is no discrimination, there's no racism. That wouldn't be true. That wouldn't be honest. There is, and many police departments have many deficits and problems, but they do as a whole, they do protect people, and they do serve, and many of them serve with honor. So we're not going to discredit all of them.
Amen.
But we're going to be honest
Amen.
About it.
Uh-huh.
I said we're going to be honest Amen. About it. Okay, we're gonna make up and try to make like they're all right, and that you know, all the police system is great. No, in some places it ain't great. Okay, so let's be for real. All right, but we do appreciate the policemen. Now, if you will withdraw the angels of God from the earth and withdraw all of them, you imagine what the evil and the devils and the demons would do. Now they already caused enough caruckus as it is. But the angels right now walking up over your home, around your city, over your state, over your homes with swords, said the sword of the Lord.
The sword
of the living God. The angels are protecting you from day to day.
Yes, Lord.
When you lay down and don't know what's going on and don't sleep, who you think is guarding you, keeping your house from blowing down and burning up and shooting up and destroying you? Who you think that's standing at guard over you and your children and over your city?
Yeah. My Lord.
Well, God has ordained his plan, and the angels of God play a major role. So let's go back so we can come up to Revelation 7 about them holding the winds.
Okay.
Holding back the destruction.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. First of all, there is a major angel who's called a territory angel that's over cities. And angels have assignment positions and offices just like we have in office. There's angels assigned for certain things. There's an angel over the city of Chicago who's the prince angel. You've got an angel over your city and over your community. You got an angel over your region. And then you got an angel, mm-hmm. your personal angel, over your home and over your life. And my God, mm-hmm. now you imagine all the things you've been through and how you managed to get through it. It was the help of the Holy Spirit and the angels of the Lord. It was the angel, the Holy Spirit played a major role, but the angels in protecting you and giving direction and delivering you was the angels of God. Do you get that?
Amen.
Do you get that?
Uh-huh.
Now, we're not to worship angels, and we're not to two things. We can't worship angels, and we can't pray to angels. Two things the scripture said. We can't pray to angels, and we can't worship angels. We can't pray to dead saints, and we can't pray to dead people. That's forbidden.
Amen.
Do we get that straight?
Amen.
We can't light no candles to to Michael so-and-so and Michael so-and-so and bow down to Michael and none of that. That's sacrilegious and idolatry, and we're forbidden to do this. But we want to understand the role of angels in our lives. Now, let's go quickly at this short period about the role, the major role. Now, we're going to run through this quickly. Angels from the beginning of the world and the creation of man.
Mm-hmm.
The angels wanted to try to figure out a mystery. And they, in the book of Peter, wanted to know, in the book of Psalms, why is God putting up with all these human beings in their rebellion? And why would he want to save such a creature like humanity who's constantly rebelling? The angels said, what is it that the Lord loved these creatures so? What manner of love is that? They couldn't figure out why he loved us so, why he cares. Because they can't understand salvation because they never fail, so they can't understand what it means to be redeemed. See, angels, they can't understand what it means to be redeemed. So they can't comprehend why would God want to redeem us. They can't comprehend that mystery of God's love because they never fall, so they can't know why because they never fail. So they can never know what it means to be recovered or redeemed. Only them other fellows who fail, who cannot be redeemed. Now, notice that every major event happened in the earth, angels are involved. Every major event in God's plan and creation, what, the angels of God are involved, the ministering of angels. Is that right?
Okay.
Well, we can go through the Bible and prove that.
Yeah.
We can go through the Bible. You are alive today because something could have happened, but these angels were there and didn't happen.
Amen.
So you better praise the Lord that your angel of protection and God is watching over you and your children and your neighborhood. You better say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
You better thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Now, let's go back. Every major part of God's plan involved the ministering of angels. Now, at the birth of Jesus, a great major event, at the birth of Jesus coming into the world, can somebody tell me right quickly, at the major event of Jesus being born and the major event of his forerunner, John the Baptist, those two great major events, what happened? Anybody like to quickly dive into that? Who would like to take one and the other? Two major events, the ministering of angels appeared. Somebody want to tell me quickly?
Okay.
It seems like nobody don't want to be blessed.
With John the Baptist, angel of the Lord had come to his earthly father, Zacharias, and gave a part of God's plan concerning John, because at one time Elizabeth was barren, and he showed him not only that God will bless her womb, but the purpose and plan he had concerning John and how John was in the womb filled with the Spirit of God. So That part of the plan was given as it was told by the angel of the Lord.
Somebody else want to talk about the most important one, about Jesus? Come on, children.
Okay. For Jesus, that Joseph was visited by an angel because Mary had not been with a man. And so he was visited by an angel to let him know that the child that she conceived was of the Holy Ghost and that it was not of man. And that was at the conception of Jesus' birth that an angel visited Joseph.
Okay, so go ahead. Someone next. Go ahead. Sister Helen, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I can't think right now.
Okay, Lord Jesus, breathe on us. Lord Jesus,
yes.
Breathe on us. Now, breathe on us in the name of Jesus. Breathe inspiration, breath of life. Breathe on us, Lord Jesus, the inspiration of your breath. We need your breath to breathe upon us, Lord Jesus. Breathe upon us.
Yes.
Holy Spirit of the living God. Holy Spirit of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit of the living God. Breathe on us. Holy Spirit
yes.
of the living God. We invite you. We invite you. We welcome
yes.
you. Holy Spirit of the living God. We invite you. We welcome you. In the name of Jesus
thank
Christ. Holy Spirit,
thank
come.
You.
Enlightenment, illumination, inspiration, come upon us. Breathe on us. We need you. We desire. We can do nothing without you. Holy Spirit of truth and comforter, come. Come with fire.
Yes.
Come with light and understanding.
Yes.
Come with the anointing.
Yes.
Come with grace and glory. Come, Holy Spirit, in the name of
yes.
we welcome you. We welcome
yes.
you. We invite you. Holy Spirit,
yes.
come,
yes.
come. We need you. We desire. We can do nothing without you. Jesus said he could do nothing without the Father. We can do nothing without you. You're the Spirit
amen.
Of truth and comforter. In the name of Jesus, come. Come through the blood of Christ. Come through the line of Judea welcoming us. We invite you in
Jesus'
name.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Now, the two major events which required an angel of visitation. Two more important scriptures that were fulfilled about a Savior and a Redeemer coming into the world. Started at 3 Genesis 15, and it had been prophesied through the fall of man of Adam into sin, there would be a deliverer, a Savior to come into the world. It had been spoken thousands of years in advance that a Savior, the Messiah, who come through Israel, would come through the Israel people, would save the world, and not only save the world, but for Israel. And he was the atonement. He was called the Lamb of God, the Holy One of Israel. He was the brightest morning star, the Lion of Judah, and he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So when he came, when Jesus was about to be birthed, the one we call Jesus is actually Hebrew name is Yeshua or Yahshua, and was time for him to be born. And the book of Matthew chapter 1 and chapter Luke tells about the story. Two angels came, one for the birth of Jesus Christ our Lord, and then an angel came about the birth of his forerunner, and one that was called John, the son of Zechariah. Now, we read these events in Luke chapter 1. It tells that the angel was not an ordinary angel. He was one of the highest angels, the one called Archangel, the one that stood in the presence of God. His name, Gabriel, and you'll find him playing a major role in fulfilling prophecy and being sent from God. So Gabriel comes to the earth, and he comes to Mary. Mary's about 16 years old, somewhere like that, 16 or 15. And the angel comes to Mary and tell her about she's going to have a miraculous birth. She's going to give birth to the Son of God. Then a woman, her cousin, Elizabeth, who could not, she was barren, couldn't produce a child, and she was an old age. In her old age, Elizabeth is told that she also is going to have a child. And both of these are sort of miraculous birth. And her son was going to be called John, and she was going to have a child in her old age, a miracle birth.
Mm-hmm.
Mary was young, about 16, but Elizabeth, who gave birth to John, she was an aged woman. Older woman. And so the angel came from heaven, Gabriel, the chief messenger of God. Gabriel is the chief messenger, and he brings a message about the birth. Now, why in every major event does he send an angel or angels to help announce and protect to bring about an important part of God's plan? And the most important, it started off, Jesus Christ, Yeshua Mashiach, was born in the world, and then his forerunner, who was 6 months, he was 6 months older than Jesus, and he was called John the Baptist. Both of them had miracle births.
Yes.
John
Amen.
Conceived by his father, but Jesus conceived by the Holy Spirit and by the power of God. There's a difference. John is filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, but he was still born by man. Jesus was not born of man, not of flesh or blood. He was conceived by the Father. The power of the Holy Ghost came upon Mary, and in her birth, in her womb, came a Son of God. Now, when Jesus was born in the earth, there was an announcement. This was one of the greatest announcements the world had seen. And angels came in the second chapter of Luke, I think it was, when the shepherds in the field, what happened to the shepherds about this announcing this great birth? Anyone?
So what happened to the shepherds?
After Jesus was born, there was a great announcement to shepherds in the field about his birth. Angels. Anybody remember that? Wow. Wow. Come on, Brother Nate. Help me out here, bro.
Oh,
okay.
Man, I forgot that part there. I
got to
be honest.
Okay, here's the second chapter of Luke. The shepherds were abiding. The shepherds were abiding in their field, keeping their sheep.
Yes. Yes.
In the second chapter of Luke.
And all of a sudden,
a group of angels appeared in the heavens, and they made an announcement to these shepherds. And these angels still in the heaven says, they began to sing, and they announced the birth of this special one, the Savior, the Redeemer. They announced the birth. And they said to the shepherds, listen, unto you born this day in the Savior who is in the city of David, Christ the Lord. And it goes on to make this big world announcement. Go tell the people. And so even the announcement of his birth was so great and marvelous that angels began to make announcement to the shepherds of Israel. Then the three wise men was guided by angels to the place to where Jesus was going to be born. So here we find that the Lord follows a pattern. Now when Jesus... angels were with him all through his ministry and through his work and his growing up. And often it is said now, I'm not making this a truth, but I'm saying there is some saying that when Jesus was about 2 and 3 years old, he was trained and taught, and that he, from the age of maybe could be from 2 or 3, that he was taken to heaven often to be trained. And so he will be in heaven being schooled from the age of 2 and 3, getting weight for his mission. So he received his training from, and he will be taken to heaven. He will go to heaven from this long age and grow up and train for his mission to die for the sin of the world. Now, angels. Now, when Jesus reached the age of 30, he started his mission on the earth. At the age of 30, a priest is able to take his office, and Jesus had to wait till he was 30 years old. And he had a mission of 3.5 years. And during that 3.5 years, when he got ready to die, when he was praying in the Garden of in Gethsemane, he in such agony, the Bible said angels came and strengthened him. But before he reached that time, in the 4th chapter of Matthew, when he was fasting 40 days, and 30 nights when the devil came to tempt him. Afterwards, he was a hunger, and it said angels came and strengthened him after his fasting. Now, when Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, ready to die in his passion, he was crying out, prayed 3 times in such agony, angels came down and ministered unto him. Now, what happened to Jesus when he rose from the dead?
He was seen.
Nobody. Okay. Well, because we're wasting time. It looks like we got to go back and do some study, children. When Jesus rose from the dead, there was an announcement by the angel of the Lord who was at the tomb. saying to the woman and to the women, he is not here. He is risen, as he said.
Yeah.
And the angel, the women went to the tomb early, and these angels were there waiting to make an announcement. And listen, the angels gave them a word. The angels put a word in the women's mouth and said, go tell his disciples. Now, I know this don't fit well with you people who think that women can't take a message of God in their mouth. That may fit well. You don't have to be ordained preacher to have a word given to you of God. Do you understand that, women?
Amen.
Nobody ain't talking. Nobody ain't listening. The first announcement of his resurrection was given to women, to a woman, to a woman. The first message of his resurrection was given to women to go take it to the men who were hiding and scared. Okay. So that don't mean that they're over the men now. Oh, no, God ain't made you no man. He made you a woman still. So let's not get all messed up there now. So, that don't mean that you will be bossy and all that and controlling. I think that you're better than men. No, you're not better than men because you're not a man. You're a woman.
Amen.
And you ain't supposed to be better than a man. You're not told to be trying to be better than a man. You're trying to be the best. The woman God made you to be a woman. He didn't make you to be a man. He made a man to be a man. So a man shouldn't try not be a woman or be feminine. He should not be trying to do it. And a woman should not try to be managed. That's not how God made you to be. Is that right?
That's right. Amen.
Well, I can't get away. Amen. I amen myself then. Okay.
Amen.
Amen. The angels, I know the angels give me an amen on that.
Yes. Amen. Anyway.
Okay. Now here, at the resurrection, there's an angel, the angel, standing at the tomb. Then when Jesus got ready to go to heaven in the book of Acts, the angels are making an announcement about him leaving. And so the angels appeared and said, why stand you looking into the heaven? This same Jesus is coming back again. So we understand that angels are partakers in every major event. And so we come closely to the areas after Jesus left. Angels let Peter out of jail. They appeared to Paul. They appeared to many of the disciples. Jesus appeared, and so they gave direction and protection and gave deliverance and the watchers. So they played a major role up to this day. So now we come down to understanding a major event. In Malachi is said to be the last book of the Old Testament that we have. In the last four chapters, these four chapters, it speak about a major event involving angels and a prophet. And it read Malachi 3, said, behold, I send my angel. That's what the Douay Virgin says. The King James and other versions says, behold, I send my messenger. But the original translation from the original text said, behold, I send my angel to go before your face, Malachi 3. Now, in the last chapter of Malachi, it talks about a major event that happened at the end of the world. Behold, the day come that should burn as an oven, and all the proud and the wicked should be as the stubble. It talks about the judgment in the last days before Jesus comes. Then it says, behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet, behold, the great and dreadful day. That's Christ's second coming. That's not his first coming. Before that dreadful day. And he is going to do something about turning the hearts of people, the fathers, back to the original covenant of the gospel, the fathers to the children to the fathers. Because why? The fathers was the first people who brought salvation and redemption, and now we are the children at the end line we have departed from. So the fathers have to turn the children back to the original covenant. That's why Elijah come to restore and bring us back. So here is a major event involving the angel. Listen, the ministering angels, let's go to something that's about the angels and their ministry. Can we go right quickly that, let's see, we can't go through all this today. We'll get part of this, the ministering of angels. Now, let's go to one verse in Hebrew. Would somebody go to Hebrew, chapter 1? Would you take your Bible and get a habit of searching out the scriptures? Wow. I didn't know the time passed that quick.
Yeah, you got about 9 minutes. You said Hebrews chapter 1, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, verse 3 and then verse 14. I'll read verse 3 and verse 14. On, okay.
Okay, Hebrews 1, verse 3 says, "Who being the brightness of his glory, an express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." And verse 14.
Now, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father in power and authority. Why is he there at the right hand of the Father? One of the reasons why Jesus is now interceding as high priest. One of his jobs after he ascended to heaven is to intercede to the Father, the mediator of the covenant. Whenever we do something, Jesus standing between us and the Father, because we are his children and we're redeemed, so the law cannot be acted against us, or the anger or wrath of God cannot come against us, because Jesus is standing up, said, "These are my children." He's acting as a mediator because they are his redeemed children. He's standing between us. The Father, you see, he can't tolerate sin or wickedness, but Jesus said, "These are my children. These are my children, Father. They are my redeemed." You know, he's pleading constantly for us. He's helping us. He's standing as a lawyer defending us. He's as a mediator standing between us and the wrath and anger of God. The mercy. He's at the mercy seat. And now, I want you to turn to verse 14. Verse 7. Somebody read verse 7. Somebody read verse 14.
Verse 7. "And of the angels he say, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire?" Verse 14.
Verse
14, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
"Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?"
Now, the work of them is so important that there are 68 Psalms, that there's thousands, and actually it's millions of them, but it's more than just, they use the term thousand because in the Hebrew, in the Latin, when they translate the Bible, they use the term thousand. You notice they don't use millions. But actually, it would be millions and millions of angels. Do you know there are millions of angels?
Amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, there are 8 billion, almost 7 billion people in the earth. How many think you think, how many angels it? But, you know, how many angels you probably think, but that walking up and down in the earth and walking around your house. Look around. Look over there in your room. See, you might see an angel standing on that corner there with a sword.
Yeah.
Look outside the door. Say, are you the angel? Are you out here watching, protecting me?
Oh, Lord.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving my divine direction. The angel play a role in keeping us alive and preserving us. And they play a major role in keeping the earth from being destroyed because of the prayers of the saints. Now, when the saints begin to pray, that's when the angel begins to work. We release the angels to pray through the word. How do we release our angels? To prayer and the releasing of the word. That calls the angels to get into action. Do you understand that? The more we pray, release God's word, the more the angels get into action. Are they not all ministering angels sent to minister those that are of salvation? And that's what it said, Brother Nate. Are they in all?
That's right.
Well,
that's right.
The more you use your authority and begin to speak God's word, you begin to declare things and release God's word, the angels get busy to bring it to pass, the promises of God. So don't be afraid to get up morning and start releasing that word so them angels get busy. Hallelujah. God declaring the promises of God. They're the one to go and carry it out. So you got to declare a lot of things. I'm going to start getting up morning and start declaring and speaking authority because the angels are sent to bring about the promises of God when we release them.
Man.
So we don't release anything. I guess they're sitting there. They don't have to do much, right?
Amen.
Now, so when you get in prayer, sometimes the angels will come and strengthen you in prayer, like they did Jesus when he was praying.
Yeah.
The angels will come strengthen you in travail when you're going through a sorrow and grievous thing. The Lord will send ministering angels to minister to you and help you as you begin to pray and ask for God's help and God's assistance. The angels will come and help and minister to you because of the demon activities, the great demon activities. So plead the blood. Plead
the
blood.
Amen.
And release the authority of the word because the word of God is a two-edged sword. So when you release it, it acts as a two-edged sword that's for spiritual release as a weapon. Do you get it?
Amen.
Yes.
Well, let's keep the angels busy and start releasing God's words and commands, okay? Let's get the angels of God up and doing and performing God's word. Amen. Because we can't do like the Catholic people go and pray and light candles and pray to them. That's sacrilegious. That's abomination. You can't do that. Hallelujah. They're not on your command. They're under the command of the Lord. But they are released to minister at our words. Okay?
Amen. Amen.
All right. Now we're working our way up next time to try to get to the book of Revelation. How are the angels going to play a role in the major events in the last days? As we close the book of Revelation, from the fourth chapter onward, we see angels working and ministering and manifesting. Some of us are going to actually see angels. We feel them in our presence, in our home. Some of us are going to have the spirit of discernment now and then to see our angel, and they're walking about us and protecting us. Hallelujah. Some of us have already entertained angels who just didn't know it. Hallelujah. Any of you been aware of angels of God in your presence, or you met some along the course, and they appear to as human beings? Angels are walking in the earth, some of them looking like appearance of human beings and walking around, and you don't even know who they are. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we're talking about the ministering of angels walking in the earth that are ministering in the earth. Now, as we close, wherever place or nation you are, if you are a Christian and you are redeemed Christians, know that the Lord wants to release angels to help and deliver you, to direct you and give you guidance. But you're not to pray to angels. You only pray to Jesus. When you pray to Jesus, you ask him to release the promise that he made to giving you special help in your nation, in your home, in your life. Let the angels get busy with the sword against the powers of evil and darkness around your life. They hold the sword of justice to smite your enemies. They fought for David and for Israel. They will fight for you when you go to Jesus and said, Lord, your promise. Fulfill your promise. We love you today. Jesus, we'll talk about the ministry of Jesus and the angels in these last days. And as we go along, we'll tell you about the seventh chapter of Revelation by the angels standing on the four winds, holding back destruction, waiting for revival.
Amen.
So now, Lord, send the rain of revival as we close. Send the rain of the Holy Ghost. Send the latter rain. Send the former rain. Send the modern rain. We need it. We desire it, for this is the time of Pentecost, and Pentecost must come. And this is when Elijah come. Elijah come, and one of his mission is to bring back the Pentecost, for he is to restore all things. You haven't heard it, but that's one of his purposes. When John preached the Holy Ghost in his first coming, he preached the Holy Ghost in his second coming. Pentecost must come. Be blessed, saint.
Amen.
Read your Bible. Look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith.
Amen.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
God
Amen.
For the blessed broadcast, the blessed word of the Lord. Don't forget tomorrow night. We will have two more broadcasts tomorrow night. Look for the advertisement at 5 o'clock and at 7 o'clock p.m. So once again, for Brother Lee, this is Brother Nate, Sister Anna, Sister Tig, we love you. God bless you. God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless.